You are listening to an episode of the Beehive podcast, Rubies and Gold. We are so happy you're here. Don't forget to like and subscribe on whichever podcast service you're listening on so you don't miss a thing. And if you're a bit late to the party, welcome. Why not pop back and catch up on any episodes you've missed so far? Hello and welcome to episode 3 of our Beehive podcast, Rubies and Gold. I am your host, Karen, and each episode I'll be bringing you stories and chatter from the people behind the Beehive. Now, this episode is a little different to the others. This one is going to be looking at a little bit of the God story behind the Beehive. It's no secret that the Beehive is centred around faith and we are part of a local church in Ashford. God is a massive part of what we do here, but we do know that not everyone shares our beliefs and might not want to hear about it in the fullest of details. We'll never stay silent about what God does, but we are giving you the chance to decide if these stories are the ones that you want to hear. So every so often, we'll be dropping a God story episode in amongst the chatter, but you'll know which ones they are. So if you're not bothered, feel free to give them a miss. There'll be no offence taken, but they really are great stories, so it's worth hanging around for. Today, I'm going to be asking both Becca and Nick about their part of the Beehive God story, their first-hand accounts of how God has shown up in beautiful ways along the journey. Becca.
Hi.
Am I right in saying that you fully believe that the Beehive has always been a God-given dream in your life, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't just a whim, it wasn't a coincidence. And so we heard in episode 1, a good few years of your dreaming was preparation and a whole lot of pushing doors and just seeing like which ones would open. I want to fast forward for you to the day when Trey Shepherd came to what was then known as Ashford Vineyard. We touched on it a little bit in the first episode, but there was much more going on from a God perspective that I want to explore a bit more today. That moment, that meeting, was a turning point in the Beehive dream, right?
Yeah, it really was.
Talk to me a bit more detail about that day. Like, what happened for you and what did God speak?
So I just came along to this leadership training day. I think I kind of heard about Trey Shepherd. He's a leader at another church that we've been connected to. So I kind of heard of him, but didn't really know a lot about him. And I don't know if he'd been given anything specific to talk about that day, but he'd obviously got his like sessions planned for the day of what he was going to talk about. And we'd had a morning session and then we had a break and then we were going into another session and then it was going to be lunch. In the break, very briefly, Nick just introduced me to Trey and said, it would be really great if you got to talk to Becca, maybe over lunch, because she has this idea of something she'd like to do, which is quite similar to the shop that your wife runs. So she, Tori Shepherd, ran a shop called Hope and Gloria in Coleraine in Northern Ireland that had similar ideas to how the Beehive runs. And so it would be someone worth me connecting
Absolutely,
with.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that was it. And he said, great, yeah, we'll talk later. And that was the amount of conversation that we had had about what was in my head.
Yeah.
And then we went into the next session and he started talking about, you know, what he'd been planning to talk. And then he almost mid-sentence stopped and started directly speaking to me about what was in my head. Now, no one in the room knew about my ideas for the Beehive. Nick and Chris knew, but they didn't know everything I'd ever thought of. We just started really talking about it. And he started declaring things over me that no one else would know.
Yeah.
No one else would know that that's what I wanted to do, that that's what I was dreaming of. And also some things that I had never thought of happening. Yeah. It was absolutely crazy. There were a lot of tears. It's really hard to put into words.
But not just you, like the whole room.
Oh, yeah.
Like even people who didn't know you or didn't know anything about you, like were like sobbing their faces off.
Yeah, it was, and it got everyone in all those leaders in that room excited about this thing as well, because it was so, God was so in that moment. Yeah. It was so clearly of God. Which is really hard to explain to people that haven't experienced that themselves. But there was a collective feeling happening in that room that everyone got behind and everyone was moved by what he was saying.
Absolutely.
And I felt like I'd been outed to everybody, but in a really good way.
Yeah, I love that. You and I didn't even know each other before that day.
No.
So we'd seen each other from a distance. And we'd kind of chatting about it later, years later, we realised that we kind of both like wanted to be each other's friends, but didn't have the like the confidence to strike up that friendship.
Yeah.
Love at first sight. but that day, I distinctly remember putting on this bravado that I really didn't feel, coming over to you and like my opening line to you was like, I love your dress, I want it. Like that was it.
Yeah,
that was the
I
entire.
Remember.
And that's how our first conversation began. But looking back now, I know that us meeting that specific day was totally part of God's plan.
Yeah.
Because that tiny conversation was just before the meeting began. And then during the time when Trey was speaking things to you that he was hearing from God, I made notes for you. And I kind of don't even know why, because I didn't know you. Clearly, I was like your comms person from day one.
Absolutely, you really were.
But I knew that like when you're in that moment when someone is speaking things over you that God's saying, like you can't take it all in and you can't process. And so I thought, oh, I'll write it down for her. So I friended you on Facebook after the meeting and I sent you our first ever message with those notes in 16th of April 2016.
Wow. And I wonder how many messages have been sent since then. Well, that's a bit scary to think about.
Yeah, let's not even go there. That's the kind of data I don't want to know. But so it began with, hi. Thought I'd best send this now or else I'd forget and probably wouldn't be able to decipher my own writing tomorrow. Oh my goodness, what a loser. But little did we know that that day would be a massive day in our friendship, but also that we'd end up on this journey together.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Brilliant.
I wanted to just grab out a couple of the words from God that Trey spoke over you that day, which I believe aren't just words and maybes, like they're proper promises from God. He said, it will be a community transformation hub. There is an anointing in that place. It will be a place of healing and releasing. Disruptive ideas are to happen there. You need to dream bigger than coffee. hearing those five snippets afresh now as we celebrate our 5-year birthday.
Wow.
What? How ridiculously amazing is God to have promised all these things before you actually had any idea what was to come?
I know, it's amazing. And at that point, I really was just thinking it was just a coffee shop.
Just coffee.
And obviously that it's so much more than that now. So much that I find it really hard to explain to people to sum up what it is, because there's so many things going on. There's one thing right away that I can say we are seeing that happen. It's just amazing to see what of that has come true as well.
Yeah, most has, and we've had chats about it recently about how much has, and there's still a couple of bits, which is really exciting to then wait and see what's coming.
Yeah.
But because we've had things come so well true, it means that like you're excited and you know that the rest is going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's so much in there that we could chat about, but there's one thing I want to draw attention to. The sentence, there is an anointing in that place. Now, for anyone at home who maybe isn't familiar with the terminology, anointing is a way of describing a covering of the Holy Spirit. Oil has a really significant symbolism in the Bible. And in the term anointing, we're kind of talking about being covered in a holy oil. But also in the way when you literally drop a bottle of oil and it goes everywhere and it is impossible to get rid of. It's kind of the combination of those two things. When someone or somewhere is declared as having an anointing, we're really saying that it's covered in God, covered in the Holy Spirit, and it's special because of that. Becca, how have you seen this anointing that was promised over the beehive play out in the entirety of our actual story?
Gosh, there's so many. There really are so many ways. Some of the ones that spring to mind, one is, you know, obviously all our clothes are donated. They've all come from another shop first. But if you buy something from the Beehive, you will get more compliments than you've ever got. And it's so true. And it's something that all of our staff and customers recognise, that they have all experienced this. That, you know, it's something that you could just get at Jewels at the outlet or at Sainsbury's. You know, they're things that you would buy elsewhere. Yeah. But because you've bought it from the Beehive, you get more compliments from people. Yeah. And I think that's that anointing, that people are recognising there's something different about that item of clothing. And it's because it's come through our doors and been sold through us. Another one is one that people recognise as well within the shop, is that people say it feels different. They walk in and they say, there's just something about this place. In fact, I remember one time so clearly where this happened, where a lady walked in, walked around the shop and went to walk out. Like, there was nothing for her. Now, we obviously weren't on our best that day. It happens occasionally, I'm afraid to say, where the staff were just kind of chatting among themselves. And I realised that this woman hadn't even been acknowledged when she came in, which is not how we normally do things, I stress. Mm-hmm. So she'd not, no one had said hello to her. She'd walked around, no one had spoken to her. And she went to walk out. And so I quickly, at that point, piped up like, thanks, bye, have a nice day, you know, something like that. And she just turned to me and she said, this place is amazing. It feels so good in here. And I was like, what? But no one spoke to you. No one welcomed you. Like, all of those really basics of customer service didn't happen. And I was doing a quick thing to try and rectify that at the end. But she had felt like the shop felt really different.
And it was nothing that we could have done.
No, absolutely. Yeah. There's no way that that could have been on us. Mm. We weren't creating a good environment that day. That was coming from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And people notice that all the time, that the shop feels different, that they feel safer, they feel calmer, they feel peace. Those were words that people use often to describe the shop. And probably like the third way I'd say I've seen that anointing is in our finances. Mm. Like sometimes if you look on paper, it doesn't add up. or we feel, you know, we're doing the same as other independent businesses are doing on the high street, and lots of people are struggling, but we're doing like pretty well compared to other people, and it doesn't necessarily make sense. It's not because we're working harder than other people on the high street. I work closely with loads of the businesses in Ashford and they all work their socks off. But we do well and we have success and we are having impact, and I don't think that is because I'm a great businesswoman. I think it's because of that anointing.
So Nick, in episode 2, we chatted through how the Beehive pop-up came to be and we discussed the fact that you had a literal dream. So for us, we know that the God of the Bible is big time into talking through dreams.
Yeah.
And so we are confident that this dream that you had was not a coincidence. But leading up to that dream, you were on a little break away and you'd been chatting to God about what was next for you, right?
Yeah.
And so you'd been having these conversations. Can you tell me a bit more about the conversations you've been having with him and how this dream for the Beehive slotted into that?
Yeah, it was a number of years into having started what was Ashford Vineyard. And I am a pioneer by nature. I love to start new things. And it turns out I'm not so good at sustaining things or things staying the same. Mm-hmm. Like that is not always life-giving for me. So the early, very early days of Ashford Vineyard, much like the very early days of the Beehive, were like you're starting with nothing and you want something to happen. And so I was at a stage a number of years in where I was just itchy to get my teeth into something new.
Yeah.
And it wasn't to leave my job as a senior pastor, although I was considering, am I done? Like, actually, is my role here done? And do I just go and do something else? And that was the conversation I was having with God of like, I need and want something that brings new. Me alive and it's new, but it fits all the values of what I was doing as a senior pastor, because I didn't want to move away from that. I still knew who I was, but it was the outworking of it that was leaving me feeling unsettled, because I just felt like, oh, there has to be something more. And that's when the dream came.
Did you feel like that sparked something new in you? Like, was that what you were looking for when you were asking God these things?
It was interesting because I wasn't looking for like a project. I was looking for a sense of direction. And it came in the form of a project. And when Chris said to me, well, I think the dream is just a dream, go uh-huh. do it. And then I spoke to Becca. I think that was the moment it started to drop into place of actually the project is this new direction.
Yeah.
And I think I said in the last episode that even though it seemed enormous and impossible in many ways to get something like this up and running, there was something in me that knew it was God, because I also had a peace that it was going to be okay and it was going to work.
Yeah.
And for me, that's always a sign of when God's involved, because absolutely. I'm not just doing it on my own and in my own strength and trying to get everything done.
Yeah.
There was a confidence I had, which I would say is supernatural,
yeah.
which was a supernatural confidence, not in my ability, but in what God had said and me cooperating with that. And that felt really exciting.
So the whole journey from your dream to them being reality is like totally jam-packed filled with God's favor and his kindness. So we could literally have like 10 hours for this one episode, but we won't.
No.
But I want to talk a little bit about God's perfect timing. Mm-hmm. And in episode 2, we chatted about a meeting we had in Middle Row towards the end of the month, when we discussed coming back as permanent and the location that we would want to open in if we could. And we all of us in that room independently had this kind of vision and this dream for one particular location, which was kind of stupid because this location wasn't available. Like it wasn't empty, it wasn't available, and we had no money or any thought of how we would get it. But it was the old Merchant Chandler building. It was really clear that it was God's planting those seeds into our heads. But knowing that, we kind of all laughed it off as silly for those reasons of it not being available. But sometimes I like to think of God sitting there in the corner with us, probably trying on heels too, and kind of just like chuckling to himself, like knowing full well that he had planned it out as our future already. So can you tell me about where you saw God's perfect timing heading up to him dropping the keys into our hands for 2 North Street?
Yeah, as you say, when the pop-up came to an end, there was a sense of grief mm-hmm. of something that was so good. I mean, if something's working and it's great, no one wants that to end.
No.
And we knew it was a pause and we felt confident in that. But I think the feeling for us of if we could have anywhere, and that was the shop that we wanted, I don't think I could have predicted that God would have provided us that actual shop.
Yeah.
But again, I had a confidence that it would be at least that or better.
Yeah.
And what was interesting for me is we were picking that location based on things like the windows.
Uh-huh.
That shop had huge windows and we wanted somewhere that was going to draw people in.
Yeah.
And again, what I have now seen in terms of God's timing is that at the time, that shop was being used as a lingerie shop and a sex shop. And, you know, actually it was drawing people to the windows for different reasons.
Yeah.
And what I could see was it was being used, but it was like God was waiting for us to come and use that space.
Yeah.
But there was a trust element of we had to trust that that or something better would uh-huh. come. And I think it's important to say there wasn't a we're going to get it.
No.
I definitely didn't feel
no,
that.
No, not at all.
And really what happened in the timing was time went on. Becca actually went into other employment
mm-hmm.
and she, you know, needed to earn money. She went into another job and she'd been in that job for a period of time. She'd mentioned before some stuff going on in her personal life where what she needed was stability.
Yeah.
And God was really kind in creating space for her to get that. And then came the phone call to say, are you interested in the Merchant Chandler? Out of nowhere. And it couldn't have been at a better time. Becca was positioned, ready to be able to come out of that employment and take a risk again.
Uh-huh.
She was in a much better place to be able to do that. And we also were blown away just by the fact that he would make it so clear he was in it by giving us that shop.
Yeah, it was like madness though.
Yeah.
Absolute madness. And I think even if we're confident that he has something for us, when it lands there, you're still like,
yeah,
I cannot believe that you are this kind to us, that you would give us this.
And a really little story, which for me sums up how God's fingerprints go decades back and then come. He's been planning this for a long time, is when we got the keys for North Street, we stood and in the entrance, there's like a mosaic on the floor outside.
Yeah.
And the mosaic was the shape of the Beehive logo and it was in the Beehive logo colour.
Yeah.
And I remember looking down and thinking, how funny that when the builders and designers of that shop decades before were putting that in, that God already knew that that shop would be, it had already been marked and given to us, but we hadn't worked it out and we didn't know. And those are the moments where I'm like, he's just good. He's so good.
And so clever.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine him like nudging Gabriel and being like, here we go. Yeah. You know, you watch those people put those little tiles down decades ago. This is the moment, you know. And I imagine the penny drop moment that we realised, like, huh, of him just smiling and being like, you know, I've had this ready for you.
Yeah. I remember you sending us a picture of those floor tiles and being like, guys, we didn't even realise.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just so great. It's so great. So, sitting here now, like 5 years after we opened our doors, like, I feel so old.
Yeah. Speak for yourself. I feel 21.
Okay.
Not really.
A lot has changed.
Yeah.
Like, a lot, including us as people and us as leaders. And God has taught us so much along the way. He's also been really patient with us too. But looking back, what is the biggest thing that stands out for you in how God has been part of the Beehive story?
I think, I mean, there's lots, as you said near the beginning, but I think his provision is massive. And what I mean by that is we can have a dream or we can have an idea and a concept, and then we feel like we lack either the skills, the experience, the practical tools we need to see that happen, but that God is able to provide.
Yeah.
And he has consistently provided. And even just that through the woven through the entire story up into the last couple of years with the pandemic and the shop needing to close and the fact that many, many businesses couldn't reopen and didn't have the resources, but we have had provision all the way. And it's something that there are so many coincidences that have happened that we have to scratch our heads and say, is this a coincidence or is this God providing? And for me, the very early vision when I walked the high street asking God for a shop, and we were on a time pressure, and I made him quite aware of that. I was like, you said October. and I felt him draw me to the Bible in the book of Isaiah. And there's this one bit in Isaiah 61 where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he is the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness the prisoners. And then it goes on to say, I will give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of despair.
Yeah.
And I saw God show me that as women put the clothes on, it was like they were clothing themselves with what he had for them.
Yeah.
And that has been woven through the whole story. And I'd say that's also true of what I've seen happen for Becca. I absolutely adore Becca. I have such a big place in my heart that wants to cheer and champion her and see her fulfill her dreams. And I've seen she has clothed herself with bigger dreams and bigger visions. She's clothed herself with confidence. And that has been an absolute delight and privilege to see what God has done in her, as she has also been part of the Beehive story right from the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really good job she's not in here because she'd be sobbing in the corner right now.
She, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Probably
but
when
she's not here, so I can say what I like.
So it's fine. Yeah. Well, as I said, we could talk for years about it, but hopefully you'll come back another day and we can talk through some more God stuff and some more Beehive stuff. In the next episode, I'm going to be joined by Becca and Charlotte as we talk about going from pop-up to permanent. So listeners, make sure you have liked and subscribed so you don't miss the next instalment of the Beehive story. Thank you for listening to this episode of Rubies and Gold. You won't want to miss an episode, so make sure you like and subscribe on whichever podcast service you're listening on. We'd also love to hear from you. Reach out and tell us your thoughts, or if you have questions to ask, drop us an email at rubiesandgoldpod@gmail.com and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Or just stop by for coffee one day if you're nearby. We'd love to see you.